session of the PAC. This morning we will have first a report by Professor Sharkov and information on the progress. And Krasavin, I'm sorry. It has not been indicated, but you are. Okay. Of course. Boris Sharkov and Zhenya Krasavin, information on the progress of the activity of the working subgroup on radiobiology and astrobiology for the preparation of the GINR's strategic long-range plan. Boris, the floor is yours.
Sasha, Irje, please take it. Dear colleagues, we are extensively discussing the one of the our future projects, the new neutron source, but we have also other business related to the expertise of this PAC, and we will share the floor with Evgeny Krasavin. I will give a couple of slides of introduction, what it's about, how it works, the preparation of strategic long-range plan for GNR, and Evgeny Alexandrovich Krasavin will give the concrete results, intermediate results on the current activities. Well, International Working Group for GNR Strategic Long-Range Plan has been established a couple of years ago under the chairmanship of GNR director in order to organize the elaboration of the long-range plan of GNR on the horizon 2030. The goal is very clear, defined is to develop GNR as a world-class scientific center which takes a leading position in the fields of energy physics, high energy physics, nuclear physics, low energy and heavy ion physics, neutrino physics, condensed matter physics, radiation biology, high-performance computing, and innovation, innovative technologies. It is a strategic goal. The expected results are also very good defined. This strategic long-range plan will represent the outcome of detailed scrutiny by international leading experts and will help to focus the views of the scientific community on the most promising direction of the research fields of GNR and create the basis for funding agencies to provide adequate support. It's, well, I would say, usual expected results for such kind of groups. And the first of all, the core research areas well defined for GNR scientific program. As I said, it's particle and high energy, heavy ion physics, nuclear physics, condensed matter physics, theoretical physics, nuclear biophysics, information technologies, high performance computing, and radio biology. And I also said nuclear biophysics. And respective working subgroups were organized 2 years ago. And it was a phase of very active brainstorming and discussions within these groups. And Alexander Yov is now leading one of these groups regarding the neutron physics and the new source. But the other group is nuclear radio biophysics and radioish biology. And we would like to give you update what is the current activities of this group. And before I give the floor to Professor Krasavin, I will remind you that the highlights of current activities and forward look of the to the future is very clear. In our view, first of all, this is mega science project NICA, this flagship project. This is super heavy elements factor. It's current activities, IBER 2, M, this is what we have today, the current activities, Baikal GVD plus Kalinin atomic power station with very, very extensive and rich research program on neutrinos, and decisive contribution to numerous international experiments, what is also important a part of activities of our laboratories, both the Djelepov laboratory and Wexler-Baldwin laboratories. And beyond running 7 years plan, we are first of all NICA scientific harvesting by the first detector, multi-purpose detector, and then the next detector will come in operation. This is spin physics detector, new neutron source development. What we have been discussing the whole morning today. Then neutrino telescope Baikal GVD, and which will enter the international network and full steam of all the capacities of this unique neutrino telescope for super energetic cosmic particles. And Xi factory, a super heavy element factory, will operate full steam and will be complemented by research of exotic nuclear program. Thank you very much, and please, Professor Krasavin will give you an idea of what is happening. He is chairing the radiobiology subgroup. Please.
Dear colleagues, let me to continue the talk, Boris Yurich. I would like very, very briefly inform you about our activities in radiobiology. First of all, some words about expert group in our field, in the radiobiology and astrobiology. I am a chairman of this group and involve some specialists from our laboratory. And so chairman in our group, Ruben Arutinyan, corresponding member of National Academy of Science in Armenia, Professor Voligursky from Poland, Professor Gaziev from Russian Academy of Science, Professor Grigoriev from Russian Academy of Science, Professor Guver from United States, and Professor Di Maura from Italy. Very, very briefly about main stage of the implementation of general radiobiological research strategy. First of all, of course, establishment of an international working group. Secondly, discussion of the main fields of radiobiological research. We discussed in detail when we have visiting session of the Bureau of Russian Scientific Council on Radiobiology in the last year. Discussion of strategy of GNR radiobiology and astrobiology research development in the international conference in conference Modern Problems of General Space Radiobiology in the last year also. And now we prepare a special documents of about 45 volume as a first stage, and we hope this work will be finished and we continue work with these documents. Well, I would like very briefly to tell you about the main topic of our activities in radiobiology and astrobiology was discussed on the last day. And today we will be listening in special presentation, Professor Rafaela Saladina. First of all, I would like to say that very important field in our laboratory concerns the problem study molecular aspect action of different kinds of ionizing radiation on the living cells. It is very, very important to study the primary molecular event, what happened after radiation by different type of ionizing radiation, from electromagnetic kinds of radiation up to heavy ions with different energy. I would like to say that we have big experience in this field, and we consider in detail the specific formation of different kinds of DNA damage after radiation, because it is very, very important. It is a basis for realization of different molecular consequences, radiobiological consequences after formation of such DNA damage. And of course, it's very important to analyze in detail the formation of complex DNA damage, because such type damages involve in different radiobiological effect. And in this effect realized on the different level of biological organization. It is also, we plan to continue our activities in radiation city genetics and mutagenesis field. I would like to say that we have a big experience. For example, 25 years we study the mutagenic effects of different kinds of ionizing radiation, mainly in bacteria cells and now in mammalian cell too. And you understand mutagenesis is a basis for realization of different effect of action ionizing radiation. And of course, we will continue such type activities in our laboratory too. I would like to emphasize this in this investigation, and we hope to obtain the special data concerning the complex damages in chromosomal organization in human cells, in mammalian cells, and try to answer what long-term effect developed after in human and mammalian chromosomes after exposure of different kinds of ionizing radiation. Last year we organized a wide spectrum investigation concerning the influence of heavy charged particles on the central nervous system. This problem connected very close with different tasks that study radiobiology that's involved in space radiobiology. And last year, we are from a very wide spectrum investigation on the basis of the new laboratory. This laboratory organized and involved a different equipment for measure behavior violation and other molecular and morphological damages in the different part of central nervous system. And this activity will be continued in detail in the future. I would like to say that a very important part of our investigation in this field concerns the experiments with using of monkey. You understand the monkey very close with human, and of course very important to organize especially experiments with such animals. I would like to say that type experiments in monkey very hard for organization, and of course it is absolutely impossible to organize only by our specialist, and we organized such radiobiological experiments on primates together with our colleague from different institutions. For example, It is Institute of Biomedical Problems, Moscow State University, and of course, Institute of Primatology, Russian Academy of Science. And we hope that this type of experiments allow us to obtain the following, the crucial question: how cognitive and behavior disorders in animals depend on the dose of heavy charged particles. It's very, very important to answer on this question. How cognitive and behavior disorders in irradiated animals depends on the physical characteristic of the radiation, particle energy, their mass, linear energy transfer, and others. What radioprotectors can be used to relieve the resulting disorders in the central nervous system? I would like to say that such type experiments to organized, for example, in United States, in Eastern country, it is a big problem. You understand it is ethical problem for organization of such experiments in Western country is a big problem. But we hope, together with our colleague from United States, from NASA, we discussed such type collaboration, and with our colleague, for example, from Germany, we organized such type experiments in our laboratory. Mathematical modeling. It is a very wide spectrum investigation from modeling of track structure by using a special program up to influence by using of molecular dynamics method for analysis behavior violation of animals and analysis formation of different disorders in mentality and other diseases in human allow us to analyze by using mathematical approaches for consideration of such problem too. The next, our activity concerns the problem of radiation medicine. We discover a very interesting effect, the influence of one drug. This drug enhances dramatically increase radiosensitivity of the living cells after radiation by different type of ionizing radiation. After irradiation by electromagnetic radiation, gamma rays, X-rays, and very important to point out, after irradiation by protons in Bragg peak of such type irradiation. You see on this picture the increase of double strand breaks with the time after irradiation, and the differences with influence of such drug and without it reach approximately 15. It is fantastic. It is fantastic. We hope it is absolutely new method that allow us to move very successfully, and we hope the using proton beam for cancer therapy will be more effective than where we use proton without any some modification. Well, I would not any words about our astrobiology activity, because Professor Rozanov yesterday presented a special talk concerning this problem, and Professor Saladino will be present the other side of this very interesting problem. some words about development infrastructure in our laboratory. It is different equipment, different new facility which we need in our laboratory for the next years up to 30 years, and the total sum approximately $1 million, and will be absolutely enough for our next activity. Sources of ionizing radiation which we used in our radiobiological experiments. Now, in radiobiological experiments, we used the following machine. Of course, it is accelerator of heavy ions in the laboratory of nuclear reaction. It is U400M, and in our experiments we use different heavy charge particles from boron ions, nitrogen ions, oxygen ions with energy approximately 50 MeV per nucleon. Very elegant machine, and a lot of different radiobiological experiments was done at this machine. Work excellent. And of course, nucleotron we use in our experiments, and before this machine under reconstruction in the mega project NICA, we as a rule used carbon ions beam with energy 500 MeV per nucleon for irradiation, mainly different animals and also monkey too. And the last experiments was done with krypton ions, but it was very, very narrow beam, and it was the first, as we say, first swallow. And of course, we expect after reconstruction this machine, and after booster as source of heavy ions, we of course expect very, very big progress in this field. And we very, very interesting iron ions and other heavy charge particles which close with iron group two. The old machine, it is first machine in the laboratory, Zhilipov laboratory, Fazatron, we use machine for our experiments too. I hope after some time we continue our activities with such heavy charge particles more actively. Some words about education. More than 20 years, the chair of biophysics was organized in Dubna University. And this chair was a first bridge between our institute and university. It was a big period, and we prepared approximately 250 students, and our postgraduate students work very, very successfully in different countries, in Western Europe, of course in our Russia, in United States, and also in Australia. And we're very, very proud because the education very good. And now we prepare a bachelor, prepare a master, and we have in our chair postgraduate course radiobiology. And of course, our university, it is based It's a basic university where we prepare our young scientists, but also in our laboratory work very successfully from Moscow State University, from Moscow Engineer Physics and other institutions. I hope it is a true way for formation of our laboratory for new scientists. Very, very briefly about our activities. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, both for Boris and to Evgeny. I wonder whether you have questions, comments. Yeah, okay.
Well, how to say, conclusion, the all the subgroups, working subgroups, they delivered the documents on the strategic development, and now some editor group will be organized to bring them together, and we have a duty to give a report about this strategic long-range plan in the forthcoming session of our Committee of Planet Potentials. And before, of course, it will be discussed in the Science Technical Committee of GNR. This is also our timeline for this year.
Thank you very much for this amendment. Questions, comments? Yes, please.
Thank you. In my opinion, it is a very good example of the complex organization of investigation, starting by basic research and including a very real application potential. I have one question. Can you say several words about your plan to transform the scientific knowledge to medical technologies in the real fight against the cancer, for example?
Thank you. When I said about radiation medicine, I would like to say that approximately 2 years ago, we found a very interesting effect concerning the transformation of different kinds of primary molecular damage in DNA. For example, it is single strand breaks and base modification. Under the influence of this modificator, such primary event transform to double strand breaks. As you know, double strand breaks is a little molecular damage that damage involved formation of the little effect, and the cancer cells, for example, in such condition very quickly damage and the little effect realized. We have shown that increasing of radiosensitivity of the living cells, human cells, and different cancer cells, for example, such type cancer cells as a glioblastoma, very resistant to ionizing radiation cells, increase dramatically with irradiation of, for example, protons beam. It is very, very important, and after our investigation in vitro, together with our colleague from different institutions, for example, from Institute in Obninsk. Now in Viva organized such type of experiments on animals, and now we expect the results after radiation by melanoma, also very, very resistant. If we obtain the promising results, it will be big, big success for our laboratory and for our institute, we expect. I hope at the next our meeting, I'll give you such information in detail. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Further questions, comments? This doesn't seem to be the case, so let me thank the speakers once again, and let me wish a successful continuation of the work in the strategic working group. And now we will have a scientific report delivered by Raffaello Saladino, Emergence of Life in Formamide-Based Origin Scenario. Please, Raffaello, the floor is yours.
Okay. Yes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. First, I wish really thanks the organizing committee of the PAC meeting for the opportunity to report about a long-standing collaboration between my university, the University of Tuscia. This is the POP building, the oldest POP building in Italy, and the Joint Institute. Since the pivotal theory of Professor Oparin about the abiotic origin of life on Earth, prebiotic chemistry became, during the time, a well-defined field of the science. Prebiotic chemistry analyzes processes that occurred on the Earth or elsewhere in the cosmos at least 4 giga-years ago, processes that can produce the biomolecules necessary for the emergence of the first living organism, which is usually called LUCA, an acronym that stands for Last Universal Common Ancestor. In this context, 20 years ago, we proposed the so-called formamide prebiotic model that present day is a well-recognized robust chemical frame to explain the origin of all type of biomolecules necessary for the emergence of LUCA. At that time, we selected formamide, this compound that is the simplest amide found in nature, since it was being detected in a large panel of sky bodies, including different moons in the solar system. And recently, molecular clouds of formamide, represented by this black point, have been detected in our galaxy, and two of them are just near our solar system. These molecular clouds are of kiloparsec of diameter. They are very large. Well, the ubiquitary presence of formamide in the cosmos is mainly due to the fact that this compound can be easily produced under both space-like and planetary-like conditions, starting from ubiquitary simple reagents. And one produced it can directly oligomerize to biomolecules, or it can be in part degraded to other low molecular weight compounds that are all key intermediates for the synthesis of biomolecules, as the case of formaldehyde, this compound, which is a well-recognized chemical precursor for sugars, or in the case of cyanide, which is an ingredient required for the synthesis of nucleobases as precursor of the genetic code. Now, prebiotic process based on formamide required energy to occur, that are endo-exergonic processes. But the energy required for these processes can be decreased in the presence of minerals that can perform as a catalyst for the oligomerization of this compound. During the time, we demonstrated that a large panel of terrestrial minerals, including clays, for example, zirconia, borates, phosphates, and so on, can effectively catalyze this kind of transformation. On the other hand, also non-terrestrial minerals, such as cosmic dust analogues or meteorites, effectively perform as a catalyst in this chemistry. In particular, meteorites are catalysts more efficient than their terrestrial counterparts. And this is due to the fact that meteorites show a very complex mineralogical composition that has been detected during the time with respect to simple terrestrial minerals. And this composition can increase the selectivity of the chemistry on their surface. Among meteorites, chondrite meteorites are the more efficient minerals. They show an elemental composition that is similar to that of the solar system at its origin. Well, next, we were interested to evaluate the possibility to use high energy particles as an energy source for the prebiotic chemistry of formamide. And we selected, in particular case, protons that can mimic the solar wind, first detected by the Russian satellite Luna. The basic concept for this kind of chemistry is that formamide can easily interact with the electromagnetic radiation to attain different excitation states from which the molecule can release energy by formation of carbon-centered or nitrogen-centered radical species. These reactive intermediates can be fast quenched in the first coordination sphere to yield a very simple compound, as the case of hydrogen cyanide or carbon monoxide and ammonia. But when they can escape from the first level of reactivity, they can interact with the mineral surface, for example, with the surface of meteorite, changing the excitation state levels and increasing their lifetime to afford more complex compounds. And that is the case of interest for the synthesis of biomolecules. Well, in the Joint Institute, we evaluate the role of protons. This is the experiment that has been performed at the Joint Institute. We irradiated mixtures of formamide in the presence of different type of meteorites using a proton beam of 170 megaelectron volts with a total energy of 6 Gray. And under these experimental conditions, we observed the production of a very large panel of biomolecules, including all nucleobases that are present in RNA and then in DNA, sugars, amino acids, the building block for peptides and for proteins, different carboxylic acids, which are intermediates for the pre-metabolic apparatus, and for the first time, four nucleosides, which are relatively complex components of RNA, in which the nucleobases are linked to the sugar, ribose in RNA or deoxyribose in the case of DNA. In the synthesis of nucleosides, we are at this level in a theoretical scale of structural complexity, is very important the radioselectivity and the stereoselectivity of the process. That means, about radioselectivity, that the nucleobases, purine and pyrimidine nucleobases, should be linked to the sugar in a specific position, that is nitrogen 9 for purines and nitrogen 1 for pyrimidines. About stereoselectivity, the nucleobases need to be up with respect to the sugar. This is the only configuration admitted in the present day nucleic acids. Well, to better understand the selectivity of the prebiotic synthesis of nucleosides from formamide, we repeated in this study the radiation of preformed nucleobases and the sugar under similar experimental conditions. In principle, all possible nucleoside isomers can be produced, but we observed the formation of the right isomer, that is this compound, only in the presence of both formamide and meteorite. The mechanism of the reaction has been studied, and we also observed the formation of polyglycosylated derivatives, which present day are involved in the epigenetic of the cell. Okay, the mechanism for the formation of these complex compounds in one-pot conditions, simplified by irradiating formamide and meteorite, have been studied in detail by Giri and Judith Sponer at Bruno Institute. They demonstrated that all nucleobases can be produced by a unique reaction pathway, starting from formamide through a radical mechanism involving a cyanide radicals. Sugars are produced by a Butler-like condensation from formaldehyde that can be generated in situ by degradation of formamide. This is an aldol-like condensation, and we have a carboanion as a key intermediates. And once produced the nucleobase and the sugar, they can combine together. This is in a one-pot conditions, it's a multi-component chemistry. The reaction occurs between the radical center sugar and the radical centered nucleobase. They combine together, and under exergonic conditions, they can yield the end product. The selectivity of the process, if you remember, the nucleobase should be upside with respect to the sugar is controlled by the interaction between the sugar and the surface of the mineral. These interactions occur between the oxydryl moiety of the sugar and the oxydryl and metal atoms present on the surface of the minerals, in this case the chondrite meteorites, and the addition of the nuclear base can occur only on the right side of the sugar. This is a completely control of the process. Other particles can perform in a similar way. This is the example of EV atoms like borine 11 as an example of a very simple model of a cosmic ray radiation to yield again a large panel of biomolecules including aromatic hydrocarbons that are usually detected in radio astronomy. Well, we are here at the level of nucleosides, we can move toward nucleotides, just adding a phosphorus group on the sugar. This step is very important. It's no easier to obtain under prebiotic conditions. And there are some pioneering studies by the colleague Simakov about the possibility of a phosphorylation of nucleosides with sodium orthophosphate in the presence of high energy particles. And we decided to deep analyze this kind of chemistry, repeating the reaction in the presence of meteorites and formamide. And as you can see, under these experimental conditions, the phosphorylation is a very effective process. We can obtain all nucleotide isomers, also cyclic monophosphate that are very reactive intermediates. And again, the best yield of this compound are obtained in the presence of formamide and meteorite. This is also the case for the total synthesis of adenosine triphosphate, starting simply for formamide and sodium orthophosphate. And there are also some inorganic polyphosphate that play a key role in the present day cell in the action of kinesis. Okay, now we can move toward oligonucleotides. Oligonucleotides are oligomers of nucleotides, are small RNA molecules, for example. And when we move toward oligonucleotides, we need to change the scenario. I showed you, as in an energy-driven part of this study, biomolecules can be produced from formamide under thermal or high energy particles conditions. Now we can move from formamide to water, since the life is in water now, and we move from an energy-driven part to a structure-driven part that is exergonic, is spontaneous. Why? As I showed you previously, from formamide it is possible to synthesize cyclic monophosphate. In water, these cyclic monophosphate aggregate in an ordered form, and they are pillared due to the pi interactions between the aromatic moiety. They form very big columns. When these columns are produced, the single monomers can react together in a spontaneous way to yield oligonucleotides in a spontaneous way. And this is a nice result, in my opinion, since starting from formamide and moving from formamide to water, we can obtain a spontaneous polymerization to oligonucleotides. And this is a part of the work that I cannot describe in detail, but is all reported in the literature. Now I will finish my presentation by a translation to a more specific geochemical scenario, that is the Aedean era, that is the era just before the supposed emergence of Luca on the Earth. In the Aedean era, the geochemistry was mainly limited to this reaction, the serpentinization reaction, during which firelight and phosphorite and olivine are transformed to magnetite, serpentine, and brucite. This is a geochemistry, a very interesting and studied geochemistry, but the key point is that during this transformation, an alkaline saturated silicate solution is produced as a byproduct. This is the key point. Why is interesting an alkaline silicate solution for the original life? Well, the alkaline silicate solution can form this kind of mineralogical structures that are called chemical garden, that are produced by precipitation of metal silicate. The key point is that during the growing of the chemical garden, the pH inside the chemical garden and outside of the mineral membrane is different. And these differences in the values of the pH create a driving force for the chemical transformations. That is interesting, since we demonstrated that chemical gardens can grow in formamide water solution, 40% of formamide, but also at other dilution. And we demonstrated that during the growing, I don't know if it starts or not. No. Okay, it should be a video, but it does not start. It starts? Oh, sorry. Perfect. This is the chemical garden growing in formamide water solution. It require in the real time 10 minutes to grow. And during the growing, some chemistry occurs. That is the point. And if we analyze the reaction products, we can observe outside the mineral membrane the formation of carboxylic acids like lactic acid or pyruvic acid, for example, and amino acids. While inside of the membrane, we have a large panel of compounds, including nucleobases. That means that the growing of a chemical garden produces a compartmentalization of the systems in which the component of genetic apparatus are inside the membrane and the main component of the pre-metabolic apparatus stay outside of the membrane. Okay, this is the first example of prebiotic compartmentalization chemistry reported. We repeat this experiment using another type of chemical garden called microdrops. Microdrops are spherical chemical gardens. They grow in a spherical way. I don't know. Okay, it is starting now. This is the microdrops growing in the water formamide solution. You know, at one point, there is a critical moment in which the membrane of the microdrops is broken and the organic material inside the microdrops is ejected in the bulk of the solution. This is a kind of reactor that open a mouth to eject the compounds in the solution. And as you can see again, we tested a lot of conditions referred to the mineral oxide to produce the macro drops, and a large panel of biomolecules are again produced in Hildegard with respect to chemical gardens. Well, this, I hope, is the next feature. The idea, in collaboration with the astrobiology sector of the radiobiology department, is to repeat this kind of chemistry, for example, the microdrops from a mild chemistry in the presence of protons, to evaluate a possible synergy effect, no, between these two scenario. This experiment is reasonable since in the ADN era, the magnetic field of our planet was not completely formed. That means that at that period, protons had the possibility to attain the surface of our planet. Well, just a schematic representation of all prebiotic processes that can be produced starting from formamide with respect to present-day biochemical pathways. This is just to have an idea as an abiotic process can mimic in a very efficient way different biochemical processes today occurring by means of complex enzymes in the cell. Okay, I wish to thank the colleagues from the Joint Institute and in particular way Professor Krasavin, Professor Lozanov, Timoshenko, Dr. Kapralov, Solovalla, all the other co-workers, and in particular way my schoolmaster, Professor Di Mauro, that now is retired, but it is host in my university, and it's very important for me to have this opportunity. I thanks all for the kind attention. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Raffaele, for this excellent and impressive talk. I wonder whether you have questions.
I lost the presentation. Thank you.
No, do I say? You?
Yeah.
No. Sasha. Ah, Sasha, sorry.
Raffaele, I heard the story that there was a life, a cyanide life before.
Yeah. Yeah, cyanide, you know, when I started my adventure in this field, the most studied prebiotic model was referred to the chemistry of hydrogen cyanide, no? Since from the Stanley, Miller and Urey experiment, hydrogen cyanide was suggested as the key intermediates for the origin of amino acids at the time. Recently, Marco Saita showed a revisitation of the Miller-Urey experiment by a computational approach, in which it demonstrates that both hydrogen cyanide and formamide are really the key intermediates. This is due to the fact that, you see, you can imagine hydrogen, no? Hydrogen cyanide and formamide are related by an equilibrium, no? In fact, if we add water to hydrogen cyanide, we obtain formamide. That means that the chemistry of formamide and the chemistry of hydrogen cyanide are strictly related, are not two different reaction pathways, are the same pathway. In fact, when we analyze the synthesis of nucleobases, both compounds are required. I don't know if I answer the question, but this is the point.
Rafael,
Just curious, how it works? The meteorite, they get some molecules going through some interstellar clouds. They bring to the Earth after the irradiation by the cosmic rays the useful molecules to the Earth. But how all the stuff is on the surface of the meteorite? How it survives when passing through the atmosphere? Because the meteorites are heated to the 1,000 degrees of Celsius.
This is thank you. This is important to well explain the general model. We know that meteorites contain organics. Since it's possible to extract some compounds from meteorites and analyze them. For example, they contain amino acids and also nucleic bases, even if in very low amount, is a ppb amount. These compounds are usually produced inside the rock, mainly due to radioactive processes or to change in the temperature during the flight of the meteorite in the space. This model is not referred to the chemistry of the meteorite when the meteorite is in the space. This chemistry refers to the possibility that meteorites fall down on the surface of the planet. We know that just before the appearance of the life on our planet, there was a very big fall down of meteorites on the planet. And then they refer to the energy during the impact of the meteorites, or successively process that may be involve protons in the Hadean period when the shielding of the planet was not complete. Then I was to highlight that the prebiotic chemistry is not astrochemistry. Astrochemistry is the part of the science that is focused on the space conditions. No? Prebiotic chemistry is anyway related to a planetary conditions. This is the big difference between the two disciplines.
Thank you. Further, your Hartmut.
As far as I understand now, life started on meteorites in the planetary and on conditions which are cold and which are not very nice for life anyhow, but it started there. That means meteorite may also go to other planets than to the Earth, so life may be everywhere. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right. I first, in my opinion, you need to take in the mind that any kind of minerals, terrestrial, non-terrestrial, catalyze efficiently the synthesis of biomolecules. This is a general process. I can say an universal process in the sense that, like physics, I think that the general law of chemistry are the same in all the cosmos. No? That means, in principle, the availability of molecules. It's not complex to have the ingredients for the life. The ingredients for the life form spontaneously or with some energy sources very easier. The next step is more complicated since these ingredients need to be compartmentalized inside a confined space, and in some way they will start such molecular interactions to create the emergence of life. And the emergence of life is really complicated to explain since we have not experimental evidence about the abiotic emergence of life. No? We only design the scenario pre the emergence of life. And systematic biology, for example, or system chemistry from the other side are trying to explain as a possible to emerge high living properties simply from a mixture of molecules. And this is no easier to explain. This is the present day point.
Thank you. Further comments, questions? If not, then let me thank
you again.
Now we will have 20 minutes coffee break, and afterwards we will continue with the general discussion.